This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of the Zioli Show. Do us a favor and subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, and tell your friends. Either that or I'll leave to become President Trump's chief of staff. Thanks for listening.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
Well, the latest on the governor of Virginia, will he resign or not? And how does this impact Democrats going into 2020? It's a fascinating story on so many levels, because Democrats are now, 1 year from today is the Iowa caucus in Iowa, obviously. This is a big time for Democrats running for president. They don't really want to be distracted by this guy in Virginia. He's an obvious idiot, and they don't want to be distracted by him. But they also have another problem on their hands, which is Virginia is really a swing state. I mean, yes, it's gone blue, but it doesn't have to go blue. I don't agree with other people who say Virginia is lost. I'm out of that mindset. I think Virginia's tough. It may be lost. We may lose it, but we're on the cusp. I don't think it's completely lost. The problem for them right now is that here's a guy, and you got to look at the politics of this from last week with his comments that, you know, from a Democrat's perspective, they don't want to be talking about this stuff going into a presidential election. It's not good for them to be talking about this stuff. The fact of whenever you're talking about the politics of the cultural issues, abortion and other things like this, gay marriage and all these other things, to have these things front and center on the radar doesn't play well to Democrats' advantage at this point in their politics. But when you go to an extreme position on that, then the party wants to distance itself completely. And they go, but they don't, because they also are afraid of ticking off their base. The fact that no Democrats called on him to resign last week after his comments, which so many people interpreted as a defense of infanticide, post-term abortion, all these other things, no Democrats came out and told the governor of Virginia, hey, you got to go, man. You got to go. But they all cringe going, you can't go out there saying these things, man. Like, what are you doing? You can't go out there saying these things and putting it out there, because the Republicans are going to pounce on it. That's how the media reported it. There's a pouncing, pounced on it, pouncing, pouncing, pouncing. And then all of a sudden this photo shows up of him, maybe in blackface, maybe in a Klan's robe. We're not quite sure. We don't know which one is which. But then it shows up. And then suddenly now the governor of Virginia has to go out and explain that, too. So he had to explain his comments on abortion and late term abortion. Then he had to come out and explain his comments on the yearbook. Then he has this bizarre press conference on Saturday where he starts taking it back about the blackface and then justifying when he wore blackface and why different times of wearing blackface on different days. And it was nuts and crazy and bizarre. Meanwhile, a young guy who's the lieutenant governor of Virginia, who is very far to the left, for my purposes, very far to the left, he's now waiting in the wings to become the next governor of Virginia. And everybody wants him to take, I mean, everybody in the Democratic Party wants him to take over for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's 40 years old, he's black, and he's never, whatever his political views are, he's unknown. But the only reason why this picture didn't come out sooner was they didn't have a reason to use it. They've always had it, in my opinion. I think they've known about it. I think that the Gillespie campaign, he was the Republican who ran for governor, I think they had it too. But by that point, you had so many people in the campaign who wanted him to lose to send a message to the president that they just sat on it. And I think that was really what happened here. It's the only logical explanation. A yearbook photo like this doesn't just get lost. A law school yearbook is one of the first rules of opposition research is you go back and look at yearbooks. I mean, that's one of the first things you do. So they had it. The Democrats had it, too. They decided to use it against the governor. And then now they can elevate their lieutenant governor guy to become governor. Problem is, he's involved in his own problems with his Me Too scandal from a woman that he says he liked, and she says she sexually assaulted him. So now the lieutenant governor is accusing the governor of planting this story just to destroy his chances of taking over as governor of Virginia. It's crazy town. I mean, it's really crazy town. It's the kind of thing that if you wrote this, you would say, This is unrealistic. If this was a plot for, I don't know, maybe House of Cards or something, you go, this is way too nutty. This can't happen. New York Times, Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax of Virginia denounces sexual assault allegation as a smear. They also have this. Kavanaugh's nomination in turmoil as accuser says he assaulted her decades ago. This is, again, the double standard in things, which we talk about a lot with the Jersey case, with Katie Brennan, and now you're seeing it play out in Virginia as well. When a Democrat's accused, it's a smear. It's a smear, and it's ridiculous. And when a Republican's accused, a woman is to be believed, and then that's it. She's to be believed, and whatever candidacy or Supreme Court seat, whatever, should go. You know, Phil Murphy, the governor of Virginia, of New Jersey, he called on Brett Kavanaugh to not be confirmed over allegations that were made against him. And his handling of this Katie Brennan scandal in New Jersey has been abysmal. In Virginia now, you have a lieutenant governor, young, and he's black, and he's, from all intents and purposes, now a rising star in the Democratic Party. He has this woman who says he assaulted me, and it's described by the left and the media as a smear. It's a smear. And the Washington Post comes to his defense and goes, hey, no, we looked into this. There's nothing here. They rush to it. Graphic new details are emerging about a newly revealed allegation of sexual assault against Virginia Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax as the Washington Post pushes back against Fairfax's claim that the newspaper found serious problems with the original accusation when it initially opted not to publish the account. Quote, the Post did not find significant red flags and inconsistencies within the allegations, as the Fairfax statement incorrectly said. The Washington Post sharply disputing the lieutenant governor's statement. All right, now, the governor, lieutenant governor, put out the following press release. Tonight, an online publication released a false and unsubstantiated allegation against Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax. Lieutenant Governor Fairfax has been an outstanding and well-earned reputation for treating people with dignity and respect. He has never assaulted anyone ever in any way, shape, or form. The person reported to be making this false allegation first approached the Washington Post, one of the nation's most prominent newspapers, more than a year ago, around the time the lieutenant governor's of historic inauguration. The Post carefully investigated the claim for several months. After being presented with facts consistent with the lieutenant governor's denial of the allegation, the absence of any evidence corroborating the allegation, and significant red flags and inconsistencies within the allegation, the Post made the considered decision not to publish a story. The Post hits back and says that's not accurate. Washington Post didn't name the accuser, but the paper said the lieutenant governor and the woman met in Boston at the 2004 Democratic National Convention. Quote, the woman described a sexual encounter that began with consensual kissing and ended with a forced act that left her crying and shaken. This is the Washington Post reporting this now. She and Fairfax guided her to the bed. She said Fairfax guided her to the bed where they continued kissing. And then at one point she realized she could not move her neck. She said Fairfax used his strength to force her to perform an oral act. That's all I can really, not being too graphic here. The statement from Fairfax said that before Big League Politics posted about this, quote, no one other reputable media outlet has seen fit to air this false claim. Only now, at a time of intense media attention surrounding Virginia politics, has this false claim been raised again. Now, there's so many things about this, first of all. Northrum is putting this out there. The lieutenant governor says, you put this out here to destroy me. You put this out on me now to say that that this is out there because you're trying to save your job. If you look at Virginia right now, you have a governor who they're trying to force out, a lieutenant governor they want to force in, but now they're saying, well, there's this Me Too scandal. But the way the left handles Me Too scandals and the way the right handle Me Too scandals are very different. When it's the left and an accusation is made, it's usually a smear. When it's the right, the woman is to be believed 100% of the time. That's how it works. That's how it works. I can't predict what's going to happen. This certainly complicates things, but I also don't think the governor of Virginia will survive this term of his. I think his term will come to an early end. They'll force him out some way, shape, or form, I think. I could be wrong, because this is tough to see. Politically speaking, they're probably better off with a guy who has a Me Too allegation than a guy who once put on blackface. I know, it's crazy times. And again, not one Democrat called for him to resign after his comments last week, which many turned around and said, this guy's talking about post-term abortion. What the hell is this? Giving the Republicans an opportunity now to show how extreme the Democrats are on so many issues, including abortion, and now bringing abortion up again as a cultural issue, which then, of course, unites evangelical voters. And the Democrats have been banking on evangelical voters being disgusted with President Trump. They're not, by the way, not in the least. And if anything, now they're even more fired up to go out there and reelect him, because if it's a choice between him or a party that allows a guy like Northam to be part of it, well, it's an easy choice, right? Here's what I mean by this. Over the weekend, CNN really doesn't want to talk about the abortion controversy. They just want to talk about the blackface. All right, don't talk about the pesky abortion issue. Let's just focus on the blackface. Please, cut 10.
You want to talk about a politician who has had a bad week. I mean, you kind of didn't exactly report what happened this week when I think it was quoted as relaxed the abortion restrictions. I mean, this was basically a bill that he supported that literally allowed, I mean, almost literally allows an abortion up until the time you cut the umbilical.
This is not the point. That's not the point. That is what came out this week.
I don't want to get into the debate about abortion. What he said was confusing.
But he's under assault for that, too. And I would make the case that was an even worse offense than this picture.
Okay. Well, now you just...
Let's talk about... No, Steve, we're going to talk about the issue of racism.
And yeah, I know you would like to divert the issue to a conversation that's more comfortable for you about abortion or something. But the reality is this is a race...
It's contemptible. I agree with you.
Let's focus on the issue, please. Let's focus on the behavior.
And we ought to respect every human life of every race, especially these poor babies who are laying in delivery rooms. When you have governors of states that think we should have a discussion about murdering them after they were born.
Stop. That's outrageous. A lie. What you're saying is a ghoulish lie. I am on the board of Narrow Pro-Choice America. That is a lie that the right wing has perpetuated.
Listen to his radio show.
I don't agree with what he said and the way he said it, but what we're talking about is making sure that in those instances, it is a woman and a doctor, not anyone at this table or anyone in Congress, making the decision. That is not the same thing as what we are talking about when we are talking about, this is what we started talking about, racism in this country. And we know that that largely drove why people voted for Donald Trump in 2016. So in 2020, this is a time when we are going to have that conversation.
Okay. So this all comes in the same...
So you see, this is what I mean in terms of this. So just get off that and move on to the racism stuff as quickly as possible and put all this in the rearview mirror. But now, of course, as convenient as that would be for them, the problem is that suddenly now... I'll read you Jonathan Martin's tweet from the New York Times. Quote, does anybody think it's any coincidence that on the eve of potentially me being elevated, that's when this uncorroborated smear comes out? This is what Fairfax told reporters. We have a little audio of this. Take a listen.
Governor, Lieutenant Governor, Lieutenant Governor.
Collective PAC, they said that you believe that the governor's team is spreading misinformation about your team. Can you comment on that concern?
The Collective PAC has made its statement. I don't know precisely where this is coming from. We've heard different things, but here's the thing. Does anybody think it's any coincidence that on the eve of potentially my being elevated, that that's when this uncorroborated smear comes out? Does anybody believe that's a coincidence? I don't think anybody believes that's a coincidence. Again, particularly with something, this was not the first time this was brought up. It was a year ago this was brought up, and yet the Post, who investigated it for 3 months, dropped the story, did not do it, and they did not do it because it was uncorroborated, and it's uncorroborated because it's not true.
Listen, if you're this guy, you want to be governor as quickly as possible, and then you want somebody to lose to Trump in 2020, and then you want to run in 2024. That's what you want. That's what this guy wants. So I'm probably, I wouldn't doubt it if they had this picture. After Northam said what he said last week, they dropped the picture, get him out of the way, get this young rock star in there, who from what I'm told is even more to the left than Northam is on the abortion issue. I don't know how that's possible, but, and then let him pave the way for 2024 after all the Democrats kill each other going to 2020. And then now suddenly this other story drops, and so you hear the lieutenant governor blaming the governor for it. This is delicious, kids. Should I put on my shoe polish, honey, and do a little dance for everybody? My wife, stick in the mud here, says inappropriate. I just keep talking, saying stupid things. Welcome back to the show. By the way, did you know he was a Republican, Governor Northam?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I think that was a CNN typo, was it not?
Yeah, it's funny how that works, right? In the Cryon, is that how they say
Chiron.
It? Chiron. I can never get that word. Governor, they have it on the screen here. Governor Ralph Northam, R, Virginia. Ah, what do you know, I mean, it's R, D. It happens all the time. R just looks like a D, Dawn. You know what I mean? It's
yeah,
so close,
it's
right?
Very close.
How many? It's like a wall, enhanced barrier. You know what I'm saying? It's like the same.
It's like a synonym.
Right, and there's nobody at CNN who could say, by the way, this governor, Democrat or Republican? Anybody know? Anybody at CNN know? Ah, just go a Republican. Make a Google it. So some might think that this was done on purpose, Dawn, is why they're saying this. Because
no.
CNN is, I know, right? How dare they suggest that? He had this bizarre press conference over the weekend. Bizarre. And it's, I'm still in shock by all this. He has had now a series of three different press conferences.
Oh, my goodness.
He is considering using facial recognition to prove he's not in the racist photo.
Oh, my goodness.
He first came out and said he was in the picture and asked for forgiveness, and then he came out and said he's not in the picture.
I have a little of the original if you want to hear.
Oh, yes, please.
Earlier today, I released a statement apologizing for behavior in my past that falls far short of the standard you set for me when you elected me to be your governor. I believe you deserve to hear directly from me. That photo and the racist and offensive attitudes it represents does not reflect that person I am today or the way that I have conducted myself as a soldier, a doctor, and a public servant. I am deeply sorry. I cannot change the decisions I made, nor can I undo the harm my behavior caused then and today.
But
I accept responsibility for my past actions.
Now I do, but now give me a night to sleep on it. So I having looked more closely at the photo, the subject of the photo, I've had a moment now to digest this.
I recognize that many people will find this difficult to believe. The photo appears with others. I submit it on a page with my name on it. Even in my own statement yesterday, I conceded that based on the evidence presented to me at the time, the most likely explanation that it was indeed me in the photo. In the hours since I made my statement yesterday, I reflected with my family and classmates from the time and affirmed my conclusion that I am not the person in that photo.
All right, so I did not appear in that picture, all right? And it's amazing. It's amazing. Even though I said it was me, I'm not. This is. It's not me. All right. I said it was me. It's not me. Not okay. Not. Cut two.
That was cut two.
Oh, that was okay.
Yes.
Great.
Cut
now,
three.
Now he begins to explain how this crazy theory came to light. Okay. It all occurred to me last night as I was listening to some Michael Jackson records. I thought, wait, didn't you used to darken your skin back in the day for dance-offs and whatnot? I asked my wife, I said, hey, boy, stick in the mud here. Didn't I do that? And she said, sure enough, honey. Cut three.
While I did not appear in this photo, I am not surprised by its appearance in the EVMS yearbook. In the place and time where I grew up, many actions that we rightfully recognize as abhorrent today were commonplace. My belief that I did not wear that costume or attend that party stems in part from my clear memory of other mistakes I made in the same period of my life. That same year, I did participate in a dance contest in San Antonio, in which I darkened my face as part of a Michael Jackson costume. I look back now and regret that I did not understand the harmful legacy of an action like that. It is because my memory of that episode is so vivid that I truly do not believe I am in the picture in my yearbook. You remember these things.
Even though in about 8 seconds I'm going to forget Michael Jackson's name. I'm about to forget his name, but you remember these things when you darken your face with shoe polish.
I wasn't. I'll tell you exactly what I did, Alan. I dressed up what's his name? The singer? Michael Jackson, excuse me. That's why I have
you
Pam.
You just said you remember these things. You literally just said that 8 seconds ago. Now you got to ask, who's it? What's his name now? What's it now? Who's his name? Who'd I dress? I darken my face to perform like so many great of our nation's great African American singers. I lose track sometimes. Pardon me.
What's his name? Michael Jackson, excuse me. That's why I have Pam with me.
One time I did B.B. King. That took a lot of shoe polish. Not appropriate, honey. Not appropriate. Now he actually proceeds to. He was going to do the moonwalk in front of the entire press corps.
Oh, that would have been classic.
He's thinking about it because his argument is, there's no way that could be me in the picture with blackface in that picture, because my days of wearing blackface are vivid. I remember each and every time, and it wasn't that time that I wore blackface. I wore blackface all these other occasions, so there's no way it could be that occasion. How do I know? Because there was a karaoke the night before. So now he proceeds to explain that this was about his moonwalking back then. Take a listen.
I didn't ever really think about that there would be anything offensive in my...
Oh, you want me to continue with cut seven? Sorry.
I had the shoes, I had a glove, and I used just a little bit of shoe polish to put under my, or on my cheeks. And the reason I used a very little bit is because I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but you cannot get shoe polish off. But it was a dance contest.
Now, how many of y'all darken your skin with shoe polish? Give me a show of hands. How many of y'all, I don't know if anybody's ever tried that. And most of you have, right? Am I right? Right? It's very hard to get all that shoe polish off. It's not my first time with that rodeo. I mean, I had shoe polish on. I took it off. This time, I went light on the shoe polish, especially given my complexion of the day. My complexion. You have to go with your skin tone and whatnot.
Just put it on his cheeks.
My skin tone at that time, I believe, called for less shoe polish. As y'all know, because I'm sure y'all put it on your face too, am I right? I say, who's got some? My staff's going to hand out some shoe polish samples. We're all going to put it on our face right now. Let's go, all of us. No? He actually asks a rhetorical question to the crowd. I don't know if any of you have ever put shoe polish on your face to look black.
I had the shoes, I had a glove, and I used just a little bit of shoe polish to put under my, or on my cheeks. And the reason I used a very little bit is because I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but you cannot get shoe polish off. But it was a dance contest. I had always liked Michael Jackson. I actually won the contest because I had learned how to do the moonwalk. But then let me tell you what happened, Alan. I have a very close
friend.
Can
you see him doing the moonwalk? He sounds so... I learned to do the moonwalk. I learned to do the moonwalk. Now, I don't know if you've all back in your skin with shoe polish. Perhaps you use a Sharpie.
Oh my God.
I don't want to assume... Everybody uses the same thing.
That would be precise.
Perhaps you use just good old-fashioned, like a paint, like a water-soluble paint. Like a, what do they call that? Like a touch-by-number, paint-by-number paint on your face.
Watercolors.
Like a watercolor thing, but then you got to be careful at the bar if somebody accidentally spills a drink on your face. Now suddenly you're not black anymore.
It's a mess.
That's why I recommend good old-fashioned shoe polish. I got a tin right here. This is the dumbest. He is the dumbest politician in the history of the world. He keeps talking. He doesn't stop. And they're just all sitting there flummoxed. As he asks, I don't know if you've all ever tried this yourself. Hey, show of hands. CNN, right? Am I right? Can I get an amen? And now he's going to offer to do the moonwalk to prove to everybody.
Which was the best question ever for the reporter.
And this is this is amazing right now what happens here. Go ahead.
I didn't ever really think about that there would be anything offensive in my EVMS yearbook, but this just literally hit me like a ton of bricks last night. It totally caught me off guard, so it was something that I wasn't expecting. And to your point, the people that do that kind of research... perhaps they should have looked at that.
And you said that the competition in San Antonio was a dance competition?
Yes.
And it was that you danced the moonwalk?
That's right.
Are you still able to moonwalk?
Inappropriate circumstances.
My wife says inappropriate circumstances.
I would dance.
Oh, my God.
And it's funny you asked that question. I brought some shoe polish just in case. But my wife says inappropriate. I'm so tired of you ruining our fun all the time. I had to marry you, see, to help my chances of becoming governor. But, man, is she a stick in the mud. Am I right? I say, woman.
Inappropriate contest.
Inappropriate. Like he's that much of an idiot. Like a circus idiot.
My
hear in the background Dawn say that inappropriate circumstance?
Because she's speaking to him. That's what a mom would say, right? She's speaking to him like he's like 11.
Inappropriate circumstance.
Inappropriate. Inappropriate. And then he says, he repeats what she says. Instead of just
like
zipping
a child.
It. Like I said, my mommy says I can't.
Inappropriate circumstance.
My wife says inappropriate circumstances.
Is she saying inappropriate circumstances or inappropriate circumstances?
Inappropriate.
I don't know what's the difference.
In space appropriate.
Hang on here. I don't want to get into that right now.
All right.
My wife with her comments ruining all our fun constantly.
Inappropriate circumstances.
My wife says inappropriate circumstances.
My wife says. Now, he goes to talk about he put a little shoe polish on his face. And he admits this now. And I won the dance competition. Cut 7.
Glove, and I used just a little bit of shoe polish to put under my or on my cheeks. And the reason I used a very little bit is because I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but you cannot get shoe polish off. But it was a dance contest. I had always liked Michael Jackson. I actually won the contest because I had learned how to do the moonwalk. But then let me tell you what happened, Alan. I have a very close friend who was my assistant during the campaign. I don't think he would mind me telling you his name. His name is Seth Opoku Yeboah. And during some of our long rides around the Commonwealth, the very issue of blackfacing came up. And he really did a good job.
I asked him, too. I said, you like the blackface? You, too, yourself? I don't know if you've ever done it, Seth.
So bad.
During that conversation, I said, you know, Seth, I put some polish on my face.
Seth, pull into a rest stop here. I'm feeling the itch. They got a karaoke jukebox. I'm going to darken my skin and do a little Michael Jackson. Billie Jean is not my lover. Billie Jean, Seth, you like that one, Seth, is not my lover. I'll go do that. I just got to put a little, you know, darken my tone a little bit.
During that conversation, I said, you know, Seth, I put some polish on my face. I competed in a dance contest dressed up as Michael Jackson. And I said, I assume you probably would think that's offensive. He said, I would. And I said, you know what, Seth? I appreciate you being open with me. I apologize for what I've done in the past. And I can promise you I'll never do that again in the future.
And then somehow Seth kept that close to the vest or was killed. We're not sure. Now, they did have a nickname for him. He doesn't understand that either. How he got that, nobody knows. It's a mystery. So let's understand his non-racist nickname that he had, right?
Yesterday evening was the first time I saw this photo. It was shocking, and it was horrific.
How do you account for one of your nicknames that's listed in the BMI yearbook in 1981, Coonpan? What's your explanation for that?
My main nickname in high school and
Grand
in college.
Grand Wizard. Dragon.
In college was Goose, because when my voice was changing, I would change an octave. There were two individuals, as best I can recollect, at VMI, they were a year ahead of me, that called me Coon Man. I don't know their motives or intent. I know who they are, but that was the extent of that, and it ended up in the yearbook, and I regret that.
We also do the large Thriller dance together every Halloween, when everybody comes together and does this. This guy is an absolute idiot. He just keeps talking and talking and talking. He doesn't stop. And then he goes on to say, it's definitely not me. The yearbook could have been hacked, okay? The yearbook could have been hacked. Ready? Cut 8.
I take credit for recognizing that this was a horrific photo that was on my page with my name, Ralph Northam, above. I looked at it. My first impression, actually, that this couldn't be me, but there was so much hurt that I was feeling. People were calling, so I reached out and apologized to people for this very picture being on my page, and I have continued to discuss that as we have gone forward. And what has happened is that last night I finally had a chance to sit down and look at the photograph in detail. It is definitely not me. I can tell by looking at it. I have had friends also look at it and tell me it's not me. I have also had a classmate who I discussed this with this morning. We talked about this situation. And I said, you know, is there a possibility, you think, that someone could have put a photo on the wrong page? She said it happened on numerous pages in this very yearbook.
We often put Klan pictures on people's pages by mistake. And blackface pictures. Happens all the time. All the time. It's like a common thing in this yearbook committee. So now we know we also have the dumbest people working. The yearbook is also his excuse.
They're asking him to do another news conference, but making sure that the wife is not there at that point.
Because they want him to be unhinged or unplugged. Like, remember, they used to have the unplugged records? That's what they want. Northam unplugged. I can moonwalk. I can do anything with this woman's not around. He says he remembers, you don't forget darkening your face. He remembers it took him, how long it took to take the blackface off.
Yes.
He literally says that.
Yeah.
That's his defense.
It's brutal.
That's part of his defense. He remembers putting blackface on, how hard it was to take off. That's his defense.
Am I right? Am I?
I don't know if you've all done this, how many times you've all done it too.
Stupid.
Oh, man. Well, that's good stuff. 855-839-1210. I guess we played all the clips of him, huh?
Oh, we had a lot. I think we played all eight, yeah.
Well, you know, it's Trump's fault, though, this happened, right, Dawn? Did you know that?
What?
Yes. NBC analysts try to blame Trump for the Northam blackface scandal. Yes, cut 11.
When did blackface become a thing again? Why does it seem as if blackface is all of a sudden front and center in America again? What's happening?
I think it has something to do with what Donald Trump has unleashed. It has something to do with what's the reservoir that's underneath our politics that can always be activated at any moment. So it's not like something's new, something new has happened. It's always underneath. It's the undertow.
You know, young children of color are dealing with kids saying, build the wall. And so I agree with Professor Cloud. Donald Trump has normalized this overt display of racism.
Can I ask a question? Has Donald Trump ever put on blackface to anyone's knowledge?
No, but are they suggesting he time traveled back to 1984? Like, how?
Maybe he had the DeLorean. Yeah. Is that what you're suggesting? So Trump, who's never put on blackface to look like a black guy, it's his fault that the governor of Virginia did put on blackface on multiple occasions?
Yes.
To look like black singers?
Apparently so.
Multiple times.
It's
got it.
It defies logic.
It really, truly does. CNN Democratic strategist Bakari Sellers lumps in the Covington kids with Northam now. This is amazing, too.
I think unequivocally Democrats have to stand up and call for his resignation. I mean, damn, Anderson, it's exasperating. It's exhausting. Can people just simply not be racist? I mean, he's a 25-year-old man in blackface or in a KKK outfit. I mean, neither one of those are acceptable. You know, the KKK, all they did was terrorize, lynch, brutalize many African-Americans throughout the South. You don't get a pass for that. And just a few months ago, I was sitting on probably with Ken Cuccinelli talking about Kavanaugh and his yearbooks and the things that he did then that were unacceptable. Right. We were talking about the Covington Catholic kids and their behavior being appalling and unacceptable in the way they interacted with the Native American at the Lincoln Memorial. And so for Democrats, for any Democrat who's saying out of one side of their mouth that he was a child, I mean, I am tired of that. But the fact is, this lapse in judgment is exhausting. I mean, we have racial issues. I can't even criticize the President of the United States for being a racist if I can't criticize Governor Northam for dressing up in a KKK garb and when he was 25 years old.
Or blackface.
Those Covington kids have to sue.
Oh, they're suing. The attorney was on. I think Dom had him on recently. They're suing everybody.
They have to go through with it. Because otherwise, this is not going to stop.
They just label these people. Yep. Like the Covington kids. The Covington kids. Like they're killers or something. Like the children of the corn. The Covington kids.
Yeah.
Right?
It does sound like a weird horror type. The Covington kids.
Yeah. The Covington kids are coming.
Great observation.
Yeah. Children of the corn. You're right.
Circle the wagons. Yeah. The Covington kids are coming. For the indigenous daughters. Jeez, so creepy. Honestly, these people are amazing. Well, the big question then, of course, becomes what is going to be the impact of all this on the 2020 presidential election? And I think the Democrats right now, they're just all looking kind of nuts, to be honest with you. I mean, really, this is not good for them as they go into their 1 year from today, Iowa caucus, 1 year from today. Cory Booker thinks his message of love can win back the White House. Will angry Democrats listen? In other words, is angry over,
oh, no.
Dawn?
Oh, boy.
Angry is over, or is it not over? That's the question.
Is it rage?
They want a living rage doll to scream for them. Rage. Rage against the machine. Has Northam ever dressed up as Cory Booker? Do we know that? Has he ever said that? Has he admitted that?
He will soon. That's going to be his next press conference.
As I was driving around the state with Seth, I'd say, Seth, why don't I darken my skin a little just to kind of fit in with the people here?
Seth. Poor Seth gets poor drunk
Seth.
Into
poor
this.
Poor Seth. Whoever Seth is, he's like, it wasn't me. I don't know what he's talking about.
Seth just got completely thrown under the bus. And yes, my southern governor is Froghorn Leghorn. It's all I've been doing for years whenever I do a southern governor. It's just funny to me. I don't know. It's an I say more blackface. Is he going to survive this, you think? What are the odds? You say no?
No, they're all turning against him, yeah. And they're meeting. They've been meeting today. So.
All right, show of hands before I resign. How many of y'all have done this to? Ask that question to the press corps. That's amazing to me.
His nickname was Goose. Well, his goose is cooked.
Nah, I had several nicknames. A goose, a white sheet goose, Goose the cross lighter. That was my favorite one. I like that one a lot.
You just one more time.
I wasn't. I'll tell you exactly what I did, Alan. I dressed up in a... what's his name? Michael Jackson, excuse me. That's why I had Pam with me. I had the shoes, I had a glove, and I used just a little bit of shoe polish to put under my, or on my cheeks. And the reason I used a very little bit is because I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but you cannot get shoe polish off. But it was a dance contest.
Obviously, that wasn't my first time. Considering I knew a quantity to put on at the moment, which was better for everybody. Like, I used to get in my eye sometimes, but Pam would be there and she'd hand me a white sheet. I mean, a towel. And I would get it off my eye. It got in my eye ever. So, and the problem, too, sometimes if your eyes are covered in blackface, you got a lot of cross, you don't even know. I don't know if you've all ever done that. Anybody? No. No?
Am I alone here?
Am I alone here? Just me again up here? All right, y'all just pretend like you don't do that. That's fine. Seth, remember that day we were driving around? I said, pulling to that rest stop, I need a Cinnabon and docking my skin a little. This guy is such a absolute idiot. Tomorrow's the State of the Union address. We will have wall-to-wall coverage leading up to the speech, of course. 855-839-1210 is our number if you'd like to weigh in on any of these issues. Oh, now, Mary Poppins, you brought this up earlier, Dawn. I found the article here. Mary Poppins branded racist by U.S. academic in a blackface row over scene where she gets covered in soot.
Yes.
So there is it doing a chimney sweep thing with Dick Van Dyke.
Yes.
And by the way, his name has also been deemed offensive to many people. It says here, New York Times professor Daniel Pollack Pelsner criticizes one of the film's iconic moments when Mary Poppins joins Dick Van Dyke's Bert to dance on a rooftop to the classic song Step in Time. He writes, when the magical nanny accompanies her young charges, Michael and Jane Banks, up the chimney, her face gets covered in soot, but instead of wiping it off, she gamely powders her nose and cheeks even blacker. He's very upset by this, Dawn. I've never even heard anyone make this comment before, by the way.
No. Because it's a comedic moment when she's like, you know, not realizing that she's dirtying her face. It's not about blackface.
Right. And it's soot from a chimney.
Yeah.
I tried that once. It doesn't work as good.
It's not realistic.
I almost said to them, please, with the coal. It's terrible. I know it's good for Virginia, but stick to tar. So that's actually racist now, blackface, huh? Mary Poppins for blackface. It's amazing what they'll do. Okay, well, Governor Northam's favorite movie, Mary Poppins. Such a dope. Does anybody really believe he moonwalks?
Well, that's why I think we need to know.
Yeah.
If he could moonwalk, then we'd know he was telling the truth.
I would, but my stick-in-the-mud wife here won't let me. She says it's inappropriate. 855-839-1210. Let's see. Tim is in Gloucester County. Yes, Tim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I've heard this thing about Michael Jackson moonwalking. Who needs blackface for that?
To be Michael Jackson?
To be Michael Jackson, yeah. I mean, he's pretty light, especially by the time anyone else figured out how to do the moonwalk.
So are you calling the governor a liar?
I'm just saying I don't know if I buy it. I want to see the pictures.
How come there are no pictures of that? Isn't that also interesting?
A little, yeah. Don't turn up.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that.
No, in 1984, because I Googled Michael Jackson in 1984. So that was around Thriller.
So it was darker then?
So he was darker skinned. And then
he started lightening his skin, right?
He was criticized for doing that. However, they released that he had a skin ailment that a lot of people actually have where you sort of have patches. So then he underwent treatments to try to make it even.
Right.
Because he had real patchy. It's almost like an eczema type thing.
Oh, gotcha. I tried to make my face look like eczema. But I realized that was just a rash. I covered it with more shoe polish. My favorite line from that has to be when he admits, I put a little shoe polish on my face.
But just a little.
I can't get over this. I can't get over this.
While I did not appear in this photo, I am not surprised by its appearance in the EVMS yearbook. In the place and time where I grew up, many actions that we rightfully recognize as abhorrent today were commonplace.
No, here, play, my belief play cut that seven. I did not play cut seven, because he says I wasn't in blackface that day. I was in blackface another day.
I wasn't. I'll tell you exactly what I did, Alan. I dressed up in a what's his name? Michael Jackson, excuse me. That's why I had Pam with me. I had the shoes, I had a glove, and I used just a little bit of shoe polish to put under on my cheeks. And the reason I used a very little bit is because I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but you cannot get shoe polish off. But it was a dance contest.
With a straight face, the governor of the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, asks the press corps if anybody has ever done that.
Self-incrimination. He's just admitting that through experience, he just put a little on this time.
Yeah. I don't know if you've all ever done that. First two or three times, you tend to over-apply the blackface.
To get it just right.
By a third time, you're usually right.
It's perfect.
Put a little bit on my cheeks.
Make sure you moisturize before the shoe polish has a drying effect on a lot of people's skin. Also, it tends to sometimes cause pimples.
Oh, no.
I found that out. But for that, it's easy. Cover your head with a white sheet.
It's like he's giving a YouTube instructional video on how to do blackface.
The white sheet's helpful if you have an acne flare-up after the black skin. You just put that on. That's why I don't remember which one I was that day. Was I performing or the day after my performance as Governor Moonwalker? It's amazing. It really is. That's just, I don't know if anyone else has ever done this. No? No? Just, what? Don't act like you all don't put shoe polish on your face and act like Michael Jackson. Cringeworthy moments there from the governor of Virginia. Absolutely cringeworthy. All right, Coon Man. So what do you think? Does he survive the day, the night? When is he out? Give me a day. Give me a time.
He's got, I think he's, they're probably, the Democrats are probably afraid Trump will make, allude to it tomorrow night. So I think he's going to be out before the State of the Union.
Before the State of the Union. Bold prediction. Greg, you want to make a prediction?
By the end of the week, I think.
End of the week? Yeah. Dan, survive tomorrow or what?
No, I'm with Dawn here. Before the State of the Union.
Yeah.
Before the State of the Union. And Greg says, okay. I say, I got one more dance party tonight.
No, no.
And for old time's sake, Seth's going to drive me.
Seth!
And then I'm going to go. And then I'm going to moonwalk right out of here.
I asked Seth.
I asked him, can I just go out in a blaze of glory? A blackface blaze of glory. That is the governor of the state of Commonwealth of Virginia right there. Greg, let's do it.
Who won Twitter?
I got to give it to Jerry Trino. He says, Rich, breaking news. The Academy just announced that the VA governor, Rob Northam, will be hosting the Oscars.
Oh, no.
It's amazing.
Oh, man.
Well, you win Twitter today.
Yes, sir.
And Flemington Furs sponsors Who Won Twitter. Thank you, Flemington Furs. Woo-hoo. Flemington Furs is what fabulous feels like.
Radio 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.